Some of you might be aware, I know you're aware of the first one, but the last 2 weeks we've had two funerals here at the church. Week before this week was, of course, Brother Bud's, and then this past week we had a funeral for a young lady, Alexis, a friend of Mark and Amy's, who, both of them were Christians, and so we're happy that they're in heaven this morning. But for those of us that have been left behind, it's been a time of mourning. The verse we read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, for our scripture reading this morning, has a wonderful promise for those that mourn. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, we've talked about that word blessed before, but it means happiness, and it means a special kind of happiness. It means that word blessed, it doesn't mean a surface type of happiness. It doesn't mean a happiness that results from circumstances. It means being happy bone deep, bone deep. It means being happy down to the core of your being. It means being happy regardless of the circumstances of your life. And that's the word that the Bible uses, that kind of happiness, the word the Bible uses is blessed, blessed. And in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, is a passage of Scripture that we know as the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus makes 9 statements, and they all begin with the words, blessed are, blessed are. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they have this bone deep happiness. And the poor, that, and we talked about it, the poor in spirit are those that know that they need God. So those that know that they need God have this bone-deep happiness that God wants us to have. Those who know that they desperately need God. Those that know they are bankrupt. Their life is bankrupt without God. And we talked about that all the riches of heaven, all the riches of heaven are at our disposal when we know that we need God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Anything that's in the kingdom of heaven is available to those that know they can't live this life without God. All those riches are available to meet the needs that we have. But we have to know that we can't get by without God. And that was the gist of that message. So this morning, we're going to look at verse 4. And you might say, well, why are we spending time in the Beatitudes? You've taught them in prayer meeting not that long ago. We've had Sunday school lessons about them. In fact, I preached about them a long time ago, about the Beatitudes. And I know there's some people that say, well, there's only 9 of them. Just start early, preach all 9 of them, get it over with. Well, and I don't know if we're going to do any more after today or not. I'm going to let the Lord lead. But I don't want to do all 9 of them at the same time. I'd rather look at them one at a time and get the richness of the verse, because there's too many of us as Christians that don't have this kind of bone deep, soul felt, down to the core of your being, happiness. There's too many Christians that let circumstances control if they're happy or not. If circumstances are good in their life, they're on top. They're happy. But if they have an unfortunate turn of circumstances, if circumstances turn against them, then they're not happy. And you can see it not only in their faith, but how they live their life. And we as Christians ought to know God does not want us to live like that. He does not want our life to be controlled by circumstances. He wants our life to be controlled by the relationship that we have with Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I just didn't come to give you life, talking about eternal life. I've come to give you life more abundantly, More abundantly. And that's the kind of life that God wants us to live. He wants us to have that bone deep down to our core, in our soul kind of happiness that doesn't depend on circumstances, but again, depends on a relationship, the relationship that we have with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants that for every one of His children. Listen to me. Let me say it again. God wants that for every one of His children. Just like fathers and grandfathers today want their children to be happy, so does God. Let me take you a little bit further in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is talking about prayer. But I want to use what He says to apply to what I just said. He said in verses 9 through 11, "What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Now again, he was talking about prayer. And he was saying, look, if earthly fathers know how to give things to their children, know how to give good things to their children, don't you think that I know how to give good things to my children? I'm God. All you got to do is ask me. And again, I'm going to take the verses a little bit out of context. If we as fathers and if we as grandfathers want our children, we want happiness for our children. I mean, we want them to be happy. We want them to enjoy life. We want them of course, we want them to be saved and enjoy the life that they can have in Jesus Christ. But we want them to enjoy life. If we do that to our kids, don't you think God does? Don't you think that God wants His children to be happy? Again, not happiness that is determined by circumstances, but that bone deep down to your core, down to your soul kind of happiness, that's what God wants for every one of His children. And I hope there's no doubt in your mind that that's what God wants for you. He wants you to have that blessedness, that happiness, again, that doesn't depend on circumstances, but depends on a relationship with Him. And by the way, not only does God want you to have it, the world needs for you to have it. The world needs for you to have it. The world needs to see Christianity that works. The world needs to see a people that is not ruled by circumstances, but that is ruled by their faith in God. They, and I mentioned it in Sunday school, in the opening for Sunday school. When they see that in our lives, they'll say, hey, that person has something that I don't have. I mean, there's something about how they're, look at them. It's a time of tragedy in their life. It's a time of heartache in their life. It's a time they're being tested in their life. But look at them. Look at them. They are not discouraged. They are not dismayed. They still have a faith in God that God's going to take care of them. That's what I need in my life. There's too many people that look at Christians and see what we got and say, I don't need nothing of that. I already got that in my life. They're not showing me anything I don't have. And so God not only wants us to have this blessedness, but the world needs us to have this blessedness so that they can see that God works, that salvation works, that Christianity makes a difference in a person's life. And that, again, we are not ruled by circumstances about what's going on around us. We are ruled by the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And then number three, and by the way, these aren't my 3 points. This is sort of my introduction. God wants us to have it. The world needs us to have it. And you and I need to have it. Amen. You and I need to have it. Listen to this. I would rather be blessed. I would rather have the kind of happiness that comes from knowing that I belong to God and that I am one of His children than I would to have all the wealth, all the honor, all the other stuff that the world has to offer. Amen. That it may last for a fleeting moment. It may last for a few seconds, but then it's gone. And we need, and again, if people are basing their happiness on what the world gives them, if they're basing their outlook on life and how they approach life on what the world gives them, they're in a heap of trouble. Because what the world gives, the world takes back. They're Indian givers. And what the world gives doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Now that's a deep theological expression. Comes from after a deep study of Greek. But what the world has to... I'm just teasing. Some of you think I'm serious when I say that. But anyhow, what the world has to offer doesn't amount to a hill of beans to what our God offers us. And you and I need that kind of happiness. And it only comes when we do what God tells us to do. It amazes me. There are people that complain because God doesn't keep his promises. And you talk to those people and you say, you know, most of God's promises are if-then kind of promises. If you do this, then I'll do this. And I always want to ask those people that say God doesn't keep his promises, have you done your part? Have you done your part? They say, what do you mean? Well, like this verse here. They that mourn shall be comforted. Have you mourned? And I'll tell you what the alternative is in just a minute. But like that promise, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you confessed? You see, in order for God to keep his promises, he's given us some things to do. And it's foolishness to say, well, God doesn't keep his promises when you haven't done your part. So, not my message, I just throw that in. All right, so we're going to look at verse 4 for a few minutes this morning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, a wonderful promise. But you know what most of us say when we read a promise like that? I think I'll skip this one. I think I'll just skip this one. I'll give up the comfort, God, if you will keep the mourning away from me. If you'll fix it so that I'll never have to mourn, then you don't ever have to give me any comfort. And if we had our choice, if we had our choice, none of us would choose mourning. None of us would choose for a loved one to die. I mean, none of us would choose that. It happens, but we wouldn't choose it. And this is a promise that we'd say, hey, God, if you're giving me the choice, I just soon skip this one. Oh, and by the way, you've heard me say before, you'd have a happy pastor if he didn't have to do any more funerals. I mean, I pray all the time. I pray the rapture. I pray the rapture comes. I pray nobody else will die. I just soon as we all go to heaven together, and we will never have to have any more funerals. I don't want to say I hate funerals because it's a time of celebration, but it's one of the things that I do as pastor that I wish I didn't have to do. I really do. Because I mourn. I mean, I had met this girl that we had the funeral on Tuesday, but as I came in and looked at the pictures and I heard people talked about it, broke my heart that she went to heaven. But Solomon says, and again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and time to every purpose under the heaven. And he lists several things there. You know that. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture. And included in that list is a time to weep and a time to mourn. So there will come into every one of our lives a time to mourn and a time to weep. And that happens to all people. It happens to people that don't know Jesus, but it also happens to us as Christians. I mean, mourning just doesn't come to those that ignore God. Mourning just doesn't come to those that have rejected Christ. Mourning comes to all of us. We all mourn. And when we come to that time of weeping, when we come to that time of mourning, we have two choices. We can pick one of two things. Number one, we can get mad at God and get bitter at God. Why? Why did you let this happen? You're God. You can do anything. You control all the circumstances of my life. You control the circumstances of everybody's life. Why did you let this person, God, get cancer? He was a good person. He tried to serve you. Why? 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 Why did you let him get this sickness? Why did you let it take his life? You could have cured him. You could have made him better. But you let this happen. And God, I don't understand. I'm mad. I'm mad. The other choice is to just say, God, you know best. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to mourn. I'm going to weep. I'm going to miss that person. But I'm going to hang on, and I'm going to trust you. Now, God gives us an example of those two choices in the same story in the Bible. The story of Job in the Old Testament. An upright man. One that feared God. One that hated evil. One that God bragged on and said, hey, in fact, he was bragging on him to Satan. He said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? What a good guy. One that loves me. One that trusts me. One that tries to live his life for me. He hates evil. Have you looked at him? And you know the story. Satan said, yeah, but he only does that because you protected him. You blessed him. Let me take some of the stuff that you've given him away and see what he does. And God said, okay, you can put him to the test. Don't touch his body. Don't touch his body. And again, you know the story of Job. Satan came into Job's life with God's permission and took away all his wealth, all his animals, and took his 10 children. His 10 children all died in a single accident. They were together, and they died with a single accident. And I've often read that story. Some people say, that's just an allegory. No, that's a true story. That's a true story. I mean, how could you lose all 10 of your children? How could you lose all 10 of your children? And Job's wife said, what kind of God do you have, Job? What kind of God would take our children? What kind of God would take our wealth? Just curse God and die. And she got mad at God. She got bitter at God. And Job said, no, I'm not going to curse God. I came into this world with nothing, and if I have to go out with nothing, I'm still going to trust my God. Satan went back to God. God said, hey, you took everything away that he has, and he still hasn't turned against me. He's still my servant. And Satan said, yeah, but let me touch his body. Let me touch his body, and he'll turn against you. God said, okay, you can't take his life, but go back to him. And Satan went back to him, gave him a terrible disease, open sores on his body. The only comfort that Job could get was to go to the garbage heap where they were burning the garbage and take pieces of broken pottery and scrape his sores and let the warmth of the burning try to give him some comfort. And I can see as his wife come out and says, it's getting worse. Your God's not getting any better. Just curse him. Just curse him and die. You'd be better off. And Job said, no, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to trust him. His wife got mad. His wife got bitter. She missed the promise of this verse. She never mourned. She just got mad at God. And got bitter at God. And Job said, nope, I'm going to mourn. I'm going to mourn. I can't explain why God did what he did, but I'm going to trust him. I don't understand why I got to mourn. It seems like God has forgotten about me. It seems like God has taken his hand off me. But I don't know what he's doing, but I believe that he does. God knows what he's doing, so I'm just going to keep trusting him. And God says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. That word comfort comes from the Greek word parakletē. It's the same Greek word that the Bible uses to describe the Holy Spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they won't do it alone. They won't do it alone. When a person mourns, the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, resides in every Christian, the moment you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You got that part of the third person of the Godhead that came and took up residence in your body. You have the Holy Spirit. But when we mourn, the Holy Spirit makes himself known to us in a way that doesn't happen just in normal circumstances. That's the promise of this verse. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall know the Holy Spirit in a way that they never knew before. They'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way they never did before. In Job's case, he had to come all the way through the book of Job. Job has 42 chapters in it. He had to come all the way through the whole book till the end of his time of testing and trial before he got it. He said in chapter 42, verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Other people have told me how close God is when they mourn. And I heard other people describe it to me. I heard other people talk about it. I heard other people just relate to me their experience. But now my eye seeth thee. Now I see it for myself. Now I feel it for myself. Hearing about it is one thing. But experiencing it, Job says, is completely something else. Experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit when we mourn is something that other people can try to describe to you, but you won't know it. You won't experience it until it happens to you. Now, we know how it ended for Job. In verse 12 of 42, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He doubled his wealth. He had 10 more children. A lot of people say, well, he didn't double his children. He had 10. He only got 10 more. Well, he still had 10. They were in heaven. So he had 10 more. Just reward for his wife getting mad at God. I'm just kidding, ladies, but she had to have 10 more kids. But the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had had before. The times of mourning will come. We're not exempt from them as Christians, but just keep trusting God. Just keep hanging on. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And it's a joy like you never had before. The Bible describes it as joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. It's like the comfort. People can tell you about the joy that comes in the morning, and they can describe it for you. But until you experience it for yourself, the half has yet to be told. The half has ever yet to be told. So, as I close, I got bad news and good news. The bad news is that Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, is a promise only for Christians. It's a promise only for Christians. If you're here today and you're not part of God's promise, you cannot claim this. You're not part of God's family. You cannot claim this promise. It's not for the unsaved. That's the bad news. The good news is you can become part of the family of God right now. You can become part of his family. You can become one of his children. And then every promise in the book, every promise. Now, there's some promises available to you as a lost person. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise that you can claim. But most of the promises in the Bible are for God's children. And the good news is you can become one of his children right now. It's as simple as Adam tells the kids, ABC, you need to admit you're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you need to admit you're a sinner, and you need to understand there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's God's son, and that he came to pay for our sins. On Calvary's cross, God put on his son every one of our sins, and as he hung on that cross, Jesus paid our price, paid what we owe. So admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to pray a fancy prayer. All you have to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty for sin, but I believe that Jesus died for me. And right now, Jesus, I'm calling and asking you to be my Savior. The Bible says that if we call, he'll answer. He'll save us from our sin. He'll dress us in the righteousness of Christ, and we'll stand before God justified, just as if we've never sinned. And then this promise about mourning, will be ours. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this promise. Oh, we've claimed it a lot in the past 2 weeks. We've claimed it at other times in our life. And you've never let us down. The Holy Spirit has always been there to provide strength and comfort. And I pray, Father, for the people in this room that are mourning something right now. I pray, Father, that you would show them the blessedness, the deep down happiness that comes from being comforted by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for those that might be in this room this morning that don't know Jesus. They can't even claim a promise like this or many of the other ones, because they've never admitted that they were a sinner, and they've never come to Christ and asked him to save them. And so I pray for them this morning. I pray in this moment that they would see their sin, see the price for that sin and what Jesus paid, and come to him. Come to him. I pray in just a moment they'd walk down the aisle and tell the rest of us that they've made that decision. I pray if there's people here, Father, that you've talked to about joining the church, I pray that they would come this morning. In fact, I pray for every person. As Holy Spirit, as you lead them, they will be obedient and follow your will. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.